Come now and worship the Lord. A very warm welcome to all of us gathered here at church this morning and all of us listening online with Radio Charwell. It's very good to all be together. Today there is a Forest Sunday School taking place, so at some point during the first hymn, the children will make their way out to the forest and parents are welcome to come along or stay in church, depending on what you would prefer. And just a reminder about some events and services taking place. We have our All Souls Remembrance Service this evening at 6 p.m. And it's not too late to have a name remembered and read out at the service. If there's a name of a departed loved one you would like to be read out, then there's a sheet at the back of church. So please just add that name on your way out today. We are continuing with our fundraising events after the concert yesterday. There are concerts taking place every Saturday in November at 3 o'clock, and next Saturday it's the Quarry Quintet, their debut performance. And there is a flyer for you to take away looking ahead to our next fundraising event in January, which is an auction, and the flyer invites you to think about things you might be able to offer for the auction. So have a think and get in touch with the team if you can help. We'll stand to sing our first hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
Here is my mind. and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen.
Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive you your sins, open your eyes to God's truth, strengthen you to do God's will, and give you the joy of God's kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy, restrain us from excess, and revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We sit for our first reading.
The first reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. He went a little farther, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I expect it's difficult for many of us to hear an extract from the book of Jonah and not immediately think of illustrated children's books featuring poor Jonah being swallowed up by a whale. And poor Jonah indeed. He tends not to be remembered as a great prophet like Isaiah or Elijah or Jeremiah. He's generally remembered as the prophet who runs away from God, gets vomited up by a big fish, and when he finally does go and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh, gets rather angry that God responds with compassion rather than judgment. But perhaps there's more to this story than our childhood memories allow us to imagine. Perhaps Jonah is a prophet for our time. Perhaps Jonah has something to offer to the discussions currently taking place all around us about climate change. The fact that animals feature so prominently in the story, not just the whale, but the animals of Nineveh, who famously put on sackcloth along with their human counterparts. The fact that animals seem important to this biblical book invites further reflection on what it might teach us about the relationship between humanity and the natural world. At the very end of the book of Jonah, God says, "Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The book of Jonah ends with mention of many animals, and through that lens, we can read back into the story just how important the natural world is to its narrative. In chapter 1, as soon as Jonah decides to run away from God, as soon as he puts himself rather than God at the center of the story, he finds himself at war with nature. A storm hits, and his boat is about to capsize. So he asks the pagan sailors, whose boat he has hitched a ride in, to throw him into the sea, and the storm subsides. Just as there seems to be a symbolic link between Jonah's self-centeredness and chaos in the natural world, so there also seems to be a link between his humility and natural calm. We move then to the famous episode with the whale. Despite the surreal nature of this scene, we notice two things. First, that God is at work in the natural world to bring Jonah back to where he needs to be. The story is at pains to mention that this was a divinely appointed act to save Jonah and the sailors too, who are the first people in the story, to pray. Second, Jonah himself is moved to prayer, which is how he spends his time in the belly of the whale. And his dramatic encounter with nature seems to bring him to a point of repentance and willingness to change course. And what a response he gets when he goes to Nineveh. The king issues a decree demanding that both humans and animals together must fast and put on sackcloth, with human and animal voices together crying to God for mercy. Jonah is still a reluctant prophet by all accounts and sulks when the city of Nineveh, which was by all accounts a city of corruption, greed, and violence, is saved from destruction. The sun beats down on him. God appoints a bush to give him shade and then a worm to destroy it. A sultry wind and more sun come along, and Jonah admits he's had enough. He wants to die. The whole of nature seems to be oppressing him. And then he realizes he needs to change, and his conception of God needs to change. He can't set himself above God or apart from nature. He needs to understand that God's mercy extends to all creation. God has compassion on the just and the unjust, on animals, plants, and the whole planet. Just as Jonah finds himself reflecting on his place in the natural order and rethinking and reimagining it, so also do we need to do the same. Jonah is a parable for all of us. Jonah represents all of us. The book of Jonah makes clear that when we humans, like Jonah, set ourselves against God and against nature, the consequences can be disastrous. At the same time, the hopeful message of the book is that God works through the natural order to bring humanity back to a place of repentance and restoration. As human beings, we have set ourselves against the natural world and put ourselves at the center of the story for far too long, seeing nature as a resource and commodity to be exploited to our own ends. The sobering statistics that have featured in the coverage of the COP26 summit this past week make this clear. We know that we need to change course, and urgently. Creation suffers because of human greed and selfishness, and the voices of the animals are crying out in our time for mercy, every bit as much as the animals in Nineveh did. As we bring these thoughts together and prayerfully reflect on our response, here are some practical lessons to take away from this ecological reading of the book of Jonah. First, it's never too late to change. The climate crisis is urgent, but change is still possible. Belief in a compassionate and merciful God can ground our own approach to repentance and the changes that we can all make to our lifestyles and patterns of consumption. We can proclaim a fast for our own times, eating less meat, burning less fuel, using less plastic, and recycling what we do use. Second, we need to adopt a response of prayerful humility to the crisis that we face, like Jonah in the belly of the whale. Setting this crisis within a perspective of prayer and recognition of God's compassion and desire to restore and renew our earth can ground a sense of hope and provide the motivation that we need to change, just as Jonah received fresh motivation from his 3 dramatic days of prayer. And third, we need to listen to the voice of the prophets, the ancient prophets, and the modern day prophets, and within the Christian church, Pope Francis, who last weekend gave a thought for the day, urging all of us to hear the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and marginalised, who are most affected by climate change. These prophetic voices are so powerful because they are not prophets of doom, but prophets of hope. And hope is the ultimate message of the book of Jonah. God has not given up on us. If we can find ways of changing and reimagining our relationship to the natural world, we open ourselves up, like the inhabitants of Nineveh, to God's infinite compassion and mercy. To close, here is the prayer the diocese have written for COP26. Let us pray. Creator of our common home, hear the cry of the earth. Our world stands in great peril, and many are suffering. We have put at risk present and future through the rapid warming of the earth and the careless destruction of its beauty. Give to the leaders of the world fresh hope and courage as the COP26 summit continues. Unite us all in a common mission to heal and cherish our world and steward its resources for future generations. May this conference be a turning point in human history for the sake of all the peoples of the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith, and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father.
Almighty and Heavenly Father, as we bring our intercessions to you, we pray for the Queen that she may recover her strength and continue to be an example to us all. Please guide and direct the government in this time of COVID and financial uncertainty. We ask that the COP26 summit will benefit the world and halt our destructive ways. Lord, hear us.
Lord, gracious, hear us.
We pray for your church throughout the world. Encourage and sustain churches where Christianity is forbidden or ridiculed. In this place, we pray for Laura and Rob and Sarah, our ordinand. We ask that we may be salt and light for you in our community and the wider world. Please speak to people who are seeking to follow you, and for those who have lost their faith, restore in them your grace and love. Lord, hear us.
Lord, hear us.
We remember before you areas of conflict in the world, especially the peoples of Yemen, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Afghanistan. Soften the hearts of the dictators that they might work for the good of the people and bring relief to their suffering. As the time of remembrance approaches, please comfort military personnel affected by mental or physical injuries caused by war. In this 100th year of the Royal British Legion, May we be generous in our giving to help the injured in their ongoing needs. Lord, hear us. Give us grace to be your instruments of compassion to people in need, people who are lonely, people who are homeless or abused, men and women in prison and their families, older people who find old age difficult, anyone with mental health problems, and for so many people who feel they have no purpose in life. We especially pray for people who have no one to pray for them. Lord, hear us. As we bring to you the sick, we pray for people with long-term, chronic or painful illness, especially those affected by COVID. Give them strength to bear their illnesses with fortitude and your help. We have been asked to pray for Naomi Lawrence, Charles Reed, Kate Samuel, Mary Jenkins, Barbara Farrer, Sue, Josie, Grace, Rosemary Hill, Sue Saville, Vincent, and Wilfred Wong. We remember those who have died recently, Evelyn Cooper, and pray for your comfort for their families and friends, especially for people who still grieve after many years. Reassure them of your promise of heaven and eternal joy with you. And now we remember those for years mind: Samuel James Day, Lynn Hales, Trudy Jane Vendome, Sylvia Pamela Joyce Bradbury, Robert Roy Girl, Cynthia Marie Jacobs, and John Gerard Gosler. And we pray for your comfort for their families and friends.
we come, Father of lights, with angels and saints, where heaven and earth unite. May Jesus meet us in the breaking of the bread. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gift for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this holy sacrament, you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that fullness of life for which we long. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll stand, our closing hymn is, O Jesus, I Have Come. The Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve.
From the Sky News Centre at 11, Labour is calling for the Prime Minister to resign.